The G.I. Journal goes to press.
G.I. Journal, Editor-in-Chief Orson Welles speaking. Hello? Hello? What? You want to run an ad in our paper? Okay, I'll write it down. Go ahead. Marine Sergeant would like to take attractive young Southern Belle for trolley car ride. Object, clang, clang, clang. Okay, Sarge, that'll be in tomorrow's paper. Now, let's see, where'd I put my secretary? Oh, yes, she's in the filing cabinet under S. Time to let her out.
Yes, Mr. Wells.
Good morning, Miss Clinch. How did you rest?
Terribly. Why can't I sleep in the wastebasket with this Samir?
Always complaining.
Well, I'm tired of sleeping in my drawers.
They're not yours. They're not your drawers. They're mine.
I don't care whose they are. They don't fit.
Yes, since you've been sleeping in the files, I've noticed a pronounced bulge around miscellaneous. But enough of this bickering about the housing shortage. Let's get to the business of publishing a newspaper. Did you make those modest changes I suggested?
Yeah. There's a picture on the front page of Orson Welles' publisher.
Good.
A picture of Orson Welles' star reporter. A picture of Orson Welles' sports editor. And a picture of Orson Welles before and after taking Orson Welles.
Well, I can take it. Now, how about the glamour page? Who's the pin-up picture this week?
Carol Landis's body. A strapless bathing suit and your head.
How do we look?
Well, Carol's figure came out fine, but your head had to be continued on page 12. Why don't you stop putting these fake photographs in the paper?
Oh, what's wrong with them? Last week we ran a picture of Dorothy L'Amour's lovely face and my beautiful body, and it's wrong. We got a lot of letters on that one.
Yeah, but most of them said, has this accident been reported?
Nonsense. And that's so wrong, they couldn't tell me from Dorothy L'Amour.
Yeah, except for one thing.
What's that?
Where she curves, you're A-W-O-L.
And here are G.I. Journal star vocal reporters with our top musical column. It's the Pied Piper.
When he comes home, he comes right straight home to me. Right straight home to me, not to Maple or Marie. When he comes home, he comes right straight to my door. Now he's gone to war, oh, but he's been gone before. And when he comes home, he comes right straight down the line. Nine times out of nine, into no one's arms but mine. So I can smile and wait a while, though he's far across the sea. Cause I know that when he comes home, comes straight home to me. Yes, he comes straight home to me.
Dilly-dally. He never dates every Jean and Sally.
Hey, big boy.
Orson. I didn't know you were an editor of G.I. Journal.
Oh, sure. It took you a little time to look around, make up your mind.
But you're so brown.
Thanks.
You've been out in the sun. You keep that up, and you'll soon be in great shape.
Well, speaking of shapes, Fay...
Let's drop the subject.
Oh, by all means, right onto my lap. Fay, it's real nice to have you here with us on the G.I. Journal. You're so pretty, and you've certainly got a mischievous twinkle tonight.
In my eye?
Sugar, you twinkle all over.
Why?
Really, Fay, ever since I first saw you on the screen, I've been dying to meet you.
Why, Orson?
I know it sounds silly, but I adore you. I worship the ground you walk upon. Every beat of my heart is a flame that burns your name into my soul.
Oh, Orson. Don't be ridiculous. Why, you just met me.
Listen, a chowhound doesn't have to wait for dinner to be hungry.
Fine thing.
It comes from Aristotle.
I thought I'd be safe here with you, Orson. After all, you're middle-aged and settled down.
Wait a minute. Middle-aged? Well, I'm not old at all. I'm not old at all. I'll have you know that just yesterday I stood on a street corner and I winked at a girl.
What happened?
She helped me across the street. But, Fay, let's not talk about me all the time. Let's talk about you.
All right.
No kidding, Fay. I'm sure the men would be interested in knowing about the army camps and bases that you've appeared at.
Well, last night I played a date at a transportation base.
A transportation base?
Mm-hmm. And all the truck drivers, they paid me a big honor. They voted me the girl they'd most like to clutch.
Those truck drivers are such a shifty bunch. Listen, did they tell you about the old custom we have on G.I. Journal?
Old custom?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's our new policy of dealing with guest stars. Now, when Betty Grable was here one week, she kissed me, and I felt like a second lieutenant.
Oh, I see.
And when Jane Wyman was here one week, she kissed me, and I felt like a captain.
Yes.
And now you're here.
See what I mean? Well, okay. Brace yourself.
Just call me a four-star general. It's G.I. Journal's original song of the week department, and we point with pride to another brand new tune written overseas and mailed to us here at Armed Forces Radio, Los Angeles, USA. The mailbag is proving there's certainly no shortage of talented songwriters in uniform, and in case some of you tunesmiths haven't heard your songs yet, it's just because we're presenting them in the order in which they arrive at G.I. Journal. Now for this week's musical scoop. It's a waltz called Remember the Day. Words and music by Corporal John Hanks of APO 650. And here to sing it back to you, Johnny, is our copy gal in the original song department, Miss Connie Haynes.
Just a year ago today, then came the word that we dreaded so. I must leave you and sail away. Where the tear in my eye, I remember the day when I told you goodbye and I sailed away. With an ache in my heart I can never forget, every moment is filled with regret. My life here is dreary and lonesome and blue,
I'm pining away, dear, just dreaming of you. Yet with memories of you burning deep in my heart, I must count all these days we're apart.
Johnny Hanks. Come in.
Hello, would you like to be brilliant, intelligent, energetic, and irresistible like me?
Why, yes, I would. What's your name?
Moore, Victor Moore. They call me the personality kid.
What are you doing on G.I. Journal, Victor?
I'm selling a personality course. I'll make you dynamic, masterful, strong. Just look at you while you have a personality like a dead fish.
Now, just a moment. I am Orson Welles.
Well, I have dead fish anyway.
Well, how come you know so much about personality?
Oh, I've been studying people all my life. When I was a child of six, I used to sit on my governess's lap and study her.
Uh-huh. How long did you keep that up?
Till I was 32.
Well, I'm glad you finally quit.
Yeah, had to. I had her lap worn right down to the upholstery.
Well, you don't strike me as a very smart man. Tell me, how long did you spend in school?
You mean counting kindergarten?
Yes.
1 year?
Well, what did you do before you went into the personality business?
I was in the gasoline racket.
The gasoline racket?
Yeah, I used to siphon and my brother squeezed.
Your brother squeezed. What did he squeeze?
Me. He wanted to make sure I wasn't holding out on him.
Gosh, I wish you were still in that business. I'd ask you to come over to my garage and burp.
Ethyl or regular?
Doesn't matter as long as you get the lead out. Tell me, Victor, you're prattling on here about personality. Are you married?
Well, this is very confidential, but Ann Southern and I are engaged to be married.
Really?
Yes, but don't spread it around. So far, only the two of us know about it.
Just you and Ann, eh?
No, just you and me.
Well, maybe you can be of some use around G.I. Journal, Victor. Stick around till after the next number.
In charge of the polished brass, Ziggy Elman, with the Long Beach Band of the Air Transport Command, beaming the swing column to APO 323 with Together.
next?
Me. 200 pounds of ever-loving man.
Yoo-hoo!
Faye, I don't know if you've ever met Victor Moore.
How do you do?
Faye, Victor is a personality expert. Have you got any problems he could solve for you while he's here?
Well, I have a brother overseas, and he wrote me that he's crazy about two girls.
Two girls?
Uh-huh. One's very pretty, has a divine figure, but she's broke. And the other's homely and skinny, but she's loaded with dough. What should he do?
That depends on what he wants, living or loving. Now, you take me. I was born with a silver spoon in my mouth.
A silver spoon in your mouth?
Yeah, and I liked it so much, I never took it out.
Yes, and it comes in very handy, too. He can talk and eat soup at the same time.
Well, are you an expert on women's affairs, too, Victor?
Oh, sure. I met a girl the other night who was wonderful. The only trouble is she's a little stout.
Stout? How's her figure, as figures go?
Her figure doesn't grow at all. It just expands.
Well, Victor, I thought you told me she was a slick chick.
No, she's more like a plump pump.
Well, I'd like to meet her sometime. What does she look like?
Well, have you ever seen those beauty advertisements before and after?
Yes.
Well, she looks like in between.
Now, Orson, I've got a favor to ask. I've heard so much about G.I. Journal's contribution to daytime radio drama. Are you planning anything special for this edition?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Faye. I was wondering how we were going to get into this little thespic epic, one that's guaranteed to set radio back a good 10 years. A little music, if you please.
The makers of Root Voot, the sensational new vitamin food for flowers, present the ups and downs of Brenda Scuttlebutt, Girl Yo-Yo. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Men. Men, do you like to putter around your garden with an old pot? Would you like to know the new modern way to keep your plants from falling down? Then get Root Voot, the new product that'll make your night bloomers snap to attention. Every drugstore has Root Voot. Ask for the new, convenient, pocket-sized 12 feet by 9. And remember our guarantee. If you think you've gotten gypped by buying Root Voot, don't grouse about it. Think of us. We got warehouses full of the stuff. Listen to what one satisfied customer says about Root Voot.
I planted Root Voot in my garden yesterday. And today, when I looked out the window, guess what? Everything was dead.
Thank you very much.
Not sure. Now, as a little acorn said to the big oak tree, when you gotta grow, you gotta grow. So long.
And now for our story, the ups and downs of Brendel Scuttlebutt, Girl Yo-Yo. You remember that yesterday Brenda drank the iodine before the cops came, but they gave her the third degree and pumped it out of her. In the meantime, Harvey, Brenda's cousin by a former marriage, has gone to Squire Albert's to inquire about Larry, who received a tragic letter from Mrs. Philpott's nephew Richard, who told him of the split-up between Bernice and Fitzroy, the butcher's son, who happened to see Charles and Julius leaving the mysterious Grayson house on that bitter afternoon in December before it was set on fire by the gang of counterfeiters. Naturally, Brenda was a little confused by all this. Especially since Dr. Peterson had told her that little Nancy would recover and we meet her this morning in her little room. Watching, waiting, hoping. Suddenly, there's a knock on the door. The door opens. And Brenda speaks.
No, no, no. It can't be you. It can't be you.
Tune in tomorrow. Him or somebody else. And men, remember to use Root Voot plant food. Root Voot makes even a shrinking violet snap at a tiger lily.
Pardon me, but won't it make the flowers and plants grow too fast?
Oh, I wouldn't say that, but as soon as you sprinkle some Root Voot on the seeds, run for your life and take cover. Well, Faye, there you are.
Thank you so much, Orson.
And you can do us a favor and drop a vocal contribution into our request department.
Be glad to, Orson. Because I'd like to knock out a post-war column for Jim Deary and Rebel Glass and their 689 gang. Those Canadian riflemen, Raleigh, Lloyd, and Cuff. Gene Charna at Navy 10, Master Sergeant Nuth at APO 954. And over at 945, Rudy, Hammerhead, Bam, the Kid, and Q-Ball.
Stitch, stitch, pray and sleep. Men must work and women must weep. 'Twas ever thus since time began. Woman, oh, woman must wait for man. And only one song keeps hearts at peace, and only one thought makes waiting. When the boys come home, the clouds will tip lightly away, away. The clouds will tip lightly away. And make it sweet, that they will never more long than the boys.
What we need more of in the old journal. You have that most rare of all talents, Fay, a distinctive voice that lifts us into the realms of music and seems to say...
Hello, Mr. What is your name anyway?
From that introduction, you could only be...
Yeah, that's right. I'm Private Sad Sack.
Oh, Private Sad Sack. Tell me, did you always talk like that?
When I was a kid, I had an awful you could hardly understand. No one could tell what I was talking to the bee. I haven't changed much, have I?
And what, may I ask, brings you to this secluded corner of the Fourth Estate? I said, why do you come dashing into a newspaper office?
I'm terribly interested in the editorial. You see, I like the intellectual. I've got a literate. I want to improve my... Where's the washroom?
I'm glad you dropped in, Sack. As an editor, I'm interested in all human beings, even when there's a doubt. Tell me something about your life. Where were you born?
I was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Newark, New Jersey.
Where?
I just told you, Newark, New Jersey, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
I noticed, Zach. I noticed, Zach, that you're now in the medical corps. How did that happen?
Oh, well, I know all about I've studied medicine. I'm a big doc. I carry pans.
Come now, you must have had some sort of medical background when you went to school. Did you have pharmaceutical therapeutics?
But I used to throw them on the floor and step on them.
You misunderstand me. What I meant is you must have some knowledge of physiology and anatomy.
Oh, sure. I studied anatomy at night for 3 years.
Why did you stop?
The policeman chased me away from Earl Carroll's.
Zach, I can see that you need some good fatherly advice. There's no future in being a playboy and philandering your time away.
There isn't?
No. Don't you know that if you hang around those nightclubs, it will impair your health and ruin your nervous system?
Gee.
Yes, there's nothing in that kind of life but false joy that will end in abject misery. Now, you're not going back to Earl Carroll's again tonight, are you?
No.
You mean that? You mean that?
Sure. The policeman's still there.
See, it's time to lock up the presses for the night, but first I want to thank our star reporters for helping us meet the deadline with this edition of G.I. Journal. Faye McKenzie, Victor Moore, my secretary, Sarah Berner, and Private Sad Sack Mel Blanc. Till the next time I get to wear the editor's eye shade, this is Orson Welles, who remains, as always, obediently yours.